BSing with
who?
BSing with
what?
BSing with Sean K. BSing with
who?
BSing with
what?
BSing with Sean K. BSing
welcome
with
to the special 100th episode of BSing with Sean K. I am your host, Sean Neese, and on this show I talk with people who live outside the box and provide a platform for opinions and perspectives not often heard in the mainstream media, and have long-form interviews with people about their creative and intellectual passions. And this episode is my 100th episode, and it's a special episode where I'm not interviewing the person, or I'm not bringing on a guest. I am the guest.
I am the danger.
I am the Senate.
And I am being interviewed because I thought this 100th episode would be a good opportunity to talk about what I've learned through doing these 100th episodes and talk about what the show means to me and why I got started with it and where I'd like to go with it in the future. And I thought for a while about who I'd have interview me. And I decided to have a previous guest and frequent listener of the BSing with Sean K podcast, Gabrielle Angel Lily, interview me because she knows my podcast pretty well. She's listened to a lot of episodes and I consider her a very insightful and thoughtful person. And I enjoyed the interview I did with her for episode 94. And Gabrielle Angel Lily is a musician, a YouTuber. She has her own business, Sleeping Dragons. She's a yogi. She has a lot of various interests. Check out the interview I did with her for episode 94. She's a very interesting woman. And this is not only the 100th episode of my podcast. It's the first episode of her podcast called Angel's Authentic Action Podcast. And she told me that my podcast inspired her to make that podcast. And I think that's awesome. And so it's a beginning of her show and a milestone for my show. And I just think that's something very beautiful. And so I know the interview is the same. It's the same interview for the first episode of her podcast and for the 100th episode of mine. Only I do encourage you to check out her intro and outro to the show if, of course, you don't want to listen to the same interview twice. And subscribe to her show, but also hear her take on this episode and this interview as well, because I think she has a lot of interesting things to say about it. Anyway, here's her interviewing me, and I really appreciate her for asking such thoughtful questions. And without further delay, here it is.
Just to get started, Sean, why don't you tell me a little bit about the initial spark that inspired you to start podcasting back in 2013.
I was an undergrad in college. I was studying film and communications at the time. I had done like the acting side of things earlier, but at that point I was pursuing film, trying to get into film because I just finished like I switched my major a lot, like for my associates, and I eventually settled on music for my associates. So now I was like, okay, I want to do more like film, and I kind of moved away from music. And then in the film/communications major, there was some journalism class that I took. So that's where the question asking, I guess the interviewing interest came in, was through the journalism classes,
right.
Plus kind of finding. I guess I went through a time like finding myself again, like in 2012, 2013, because for a while I was doing bands when I was younger. I was in a grindcore band. I was doing like punk bands, and then those kind of didn't work out after a while, like doing music and everything. And I kind of was like, all right, what else? And I couldn't get another band together. So I was like, all right, what else do I do to give my, you know, to find, what else can I create to like find meaning, I guess, right, in my life again? And
right,
I started just consuming a lot of content. I started listening to a lot of podcasts and reading more and like expanding my mind more, and not through like psychedelics expanding my mind, right. But like expanding my mind through like learning and
right.
And also watching YouTube videos, actually watching just how anybody could just get a camera and put their thoughts out there. And I know that's not exactly the same as a podcast, but it kind of, I was like thinking, what could I do?
Right.
To kind of, so I just thought, you know, why don't I set up a show where I just interview people and like really bring them out and have, you know, as a way to connect more with right. people, because I'm good at these feature stories I was doing for the journalism classes. Like when I did the story on my professor, Dr. Norman Bowe, who teaches this class about death. And I thought, you know, that I found that very rewarding to tell her story and to bring her out and just kind of paint a picture of her. I just noticed that was something I was good at. So I thought doing a podcast, and I was listening to a lot of podcasts like Joe Rogan
uh-huh.
at the time. The Drunken Taoist was another one. Just hearing people have these long unedited talks. Well, I do edit my show, but I mean like long form talks than they do like in a mainstream TV interview, you know, where they take little snippets. I like the really getting to hear different people's perspectives. Right. And so that's one of the main reasons I started the show, was that I thought there was a lot of fighting on the internet and like people with different perspectives not listening to each other. So I thought I'd, you know, start a show where I talk to all different kinds of people all across the board in different circles and different kinds of walks of life. And it didn't originally start as like thinking, oh, I'm going to talk to people that are like outside the box or going against the grain. It just kind of started with, I want to do a show where I interview interesting people like from all walks of life.
Right.
And have a back and forth / interview with them. And then organically, it just like each person kind of fit together as somebody who's kind of going in one way or another, going against the grain of, I guess, following their own path is the way I'd say it.
Right.
Like even if they aren't necessarily, like most of them are artists, but some of them are just people that are individuals, I guess. Or
So would you say it was more a desire to have a platform for your own voice, or a desire to explore other voices and perspectives initially?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Right.
And it was also a way to connect more.
Right.
Connect more with people and enhance my social skills and enhance, like a way for me to feel more connected in general, because maybe at that time I was feeling kind of disconnected from everything and everyone. And then I thought this could be a way that I can connect with people by bringing them out and understanding their perspective, and by giving other people a platform. Like I'm also teaching people about myself, and I'm also connecting with other
right.
people by showing, you know, that I'm open to them.
Yeah. So was it like a gradual decision, or was it something that hit you and you knew, you thought, you know, oh, podcasting, this is a format that's good for me?
I mean, the podcasting itself was gradual, because I did like other music related podcasts before that.
Right.
And then I did a podcast with my friend John Young, which was more like talking about spiritual kind of stuff. My beliefs were a little different back then. It was a little more of a new agey. That was what I was kind of like believing, a little more like the new agey kind of stuff. And we did a podcast where we talked about like spirituality each episode. And then eventually, you know, he got more committed to teaching. He's a spiritual teacher. So I went and thought, or I wanted to keep doing podcasting consistently. So then I had that idea for a while to do the BSing show. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to start doing this where I BS with people, BSing with Sean Kay.
Right.
And the first person I asked was my friend Alex Wawoski, who's a straight edge vegan animator. And I know like he has very strong opinions about things. So I'm like, well, all right, I'll start with people I know. So I'll ask my friend and let's set up a Skype interview and record it. And when I did that, I guess I never thought I'd be doing it like 6 years later like this, and that I would have developed this wide of a network
right
through it. And now it's kind of like merging into everything else I do, like the improv group. Like pretty much everybody at this improv group I go to knows about this podcast I do, and I've interviewed like most of the people I met through that and people I meet on set. And you know, and then I don't know, it's like in New York and through like, you know, contacts I've made outside of my area, you know, online, people I've interviewed long distance via Skype and everything. Well, like you interviewing me now, or my friend Jason, who he goes by Van Perp now, that's his musician name. Like I went out to see him in, what was it, South Carolina a few years ago, and we did like a live stream there and everything. I mean, I knew him through music before that, because he was a fan of the band I was in before that. And now, and then he ended up composing the BSing theme song too. You know, the BSing with Sean K.
Yeah, I like that. So yeah, I was curious about how you chose that name. Was it something again that came quickly to you, or something that you struggled with to choose that name, or is it just a natural
fit? It really was like totally intuitive. Like it just kind of came to me, BSing with Sean K. Maybe it kind of fit my personality, it was like very spontaneous, like kind of like, oh, we're gonna do the BSing with Sean K, we're gonna do the bullshitting with Sean Neese, and it just sounded like a neat name for a podcast. Maybe I was also a little bit thinking of WTF Mark Maron, it has a catchy name, so
yeah,
it kind of came to me.
I agree. I think it's good, and it kind of gives a lightness or an openness to the conversation that, you know, it seems like an invitation to be casual to some degree, I guess.
Yeah. More off the cuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you currently have a process for who you choose to interview, or does that also happen organically?
I think it's a little more, like, focus than it used to be. Like I try to bring on people that like do more than one thing, like, you know, how you do the music and then you do YouTube and you do you mentioned writing and stuff too,
right?
Like people who are kind of dynamic in what they do and also have a bit of a message, I guess, with what they're saying, or like something they can talk about beyond, like, right. Certain musicians, like certain times when I did interviews in the past, I felt like the conversation felt kind of flat because they could just talk about like one thing, their music, like, oh, how'd your band? Like, I like it if there's a wide range of topics we could get into. So I try to choose people that are dynamic and I feel like I can get into a wide range of topics with.
Right. Yeah, that was one of my questions, is are there sometimes interviews you do that you end up not using for your show just because maybe they're not dynamic enough, or?
There are some, and then there are some that were like that, and I ended up releasing them anyway.
Right.
And then I was kind of like, because there was one where the guy kind of just like, because at the time, I mean, I've developed my person, like now I'm a lot more outgoing and I'm better at being spontaneous in an interview. It used to be kind of just like, oh, because I'd write out the question, it'd just be like one question to the next. And, you know, I've been doing improv, I've been doing acting, that's helped me kind of add a bit of fun to the conversation too,
right?
Because that's been something I've been working on, was rather than just having a formal interview, having it also fun and having banter and, you know, having a have it BSing too, so finding that balance. And there was one interview that went really wrong with a guy that he kind of ended up like ripping on me the whole time. Like, hey, you don't do a lot of BSing. You just ask questions. And then he was like, but actually, then he said like, you should take an improv class. And then that was the first thing that gave me the idea to take improv. So in a way that ended up being a positive experience, even though I didn't enjoy that interview.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I was wondering how your, you know, what are that is one opportunity that's come about from your podcasting, and I was wondering what other, you know, or maybe your favorite or most impactful opportunities that have arisen or doors that have opened as a result of your podcasting in particular and all your creative endeavors in general, which you've mentioned, just making more connections, feeling more spontaneous and social. Are there other things that come to mind?
Well, sometimes it's neat how one interview leads into another interview. Like, a long time ago, I interviewed Christopher J. Smith, who's a YouTuber that does YouTube videos about, like, mindfulness and, like, controlling your thoughts and things like that. And I interviewed him because I watched one of his videos on how to stop caring what other people think.
Right.
And then I added him on Facebook, and I was like, why don't we do an interview? And then he came on the podcast, but then that led to like two other interviews with people he was connected with. And then I kind of became a part of their network. And then I've interviewed other people that were from a totally different spectrum, like an atheist YouTuber. And I interviewed some of the people that YouTuber was friends with, or different comedians or bands that, it's like a lot. Sometimes one interview has led to another interview, or I interviewed this band Jigsaw Youth, and then their friend, who's a poet, contacted me after he heard the interview. And he's like, "Hey, I really liked what you did with your show. Let's do an interview." So,
right. So, and you mentioned Christopher. Do you have any favorite interviews that stand out to you right now?
I like the interview I did with Iman Ramawi, who's like, she's a poet. I saw her perform at Stark Reality open mic. Actually, that's another good thing, has been the Stark Reality, because I started going there before, and that was before I really wrote any, because I have written some spoken word,
right?
And I did end up performing there, but at the time I went there because I wanted to meet like artistic, creative people, so I went to that open mic, and then then I interviewed Viviana Duncan, who runs that open mic, and she mentions my podcast like when I go to the open mic and everything. And then I ended up doing a story, an article, and a newsletter on her open mic, and then that led to another interview with Iman Ramawi, who's a disability rights activist, and she's also a spoken word poet. And I thought it was a really good conversation with her.
Right.
And also, I did one with this punk singer, Steve Ignorant, who's like he's a punk musician in the UK, and he was part of this band Crass, which has like a following among a lot of people real into punk would know who Crass is.
Right.
And I liked how he was not only, he's still doing music, it's a little more folky, and then he has this other band that's still punk, but then I like how he also volunteers his time to rescue people at this lifeboat service. So he rescues people drowning at sea.
Huh.
And I thought that was really neat, just to like show his dynamic of who he is. And I also liked that interview I did with this guy, Pat, DJ Pat Pervert. His name's Pasquale Santoro, but he's a punk rock DJ at Auto Shrunken Head, because that interview was really like an experience. Like I went in there with my laptop and I interviewed him in the back of the bar. And, you know, I hung out at the bar for a while before and after that. And then I wrote an article on that about just the whole scenery and everything, my interactions with the different people there. And then we got into a little debate. I think it was about, like, free speech or something like that. And then we also talked about, it was a very dynamic conversation. Like, it started with talking about how he got into punk, and then it went into his life and, like, some of the struggles he went through. Like, he was homeless for a time, and then he found a band and he found music, and and then it ended up like a debate about politics and stuff. And then he talked about, not politics, but like just about, it was one little thing. Like we pretty much agreed, but it was like about like free speech. And
right.
Then he was, it was just a dynamic conversation, and it felt more like an experience because it was like in person, and it was at the place where he does his DJ. So there was like a story to it.
Right. Yeah. I'm intrigued by your idea of, you use the phrase outside the box, and I was thinking about creativity, and you've mentioned liking the dynamics of, you know, or the experience of finding out more or broadening the perspective of somebody. So how would you say that that fits together or is, I mean, how would you define living outside the box, and how are these interviews changing or reiterating that definition for you?
Hmm. I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess I said outside the box like a couple years into it, because I was trying to think how to define these different people I bring on, because before it was just like, oh, I interview artists, musicians, and then to me that felt a little vague, so I was trying to think what connects them.
Right.
And I guess it's people that have that are authentic about right. what they're doing. They're not just going along with what's popular right. or with what their society is expecting. And like they're real, I guess, or they're like a free, it's like free thinkers, or like non, they're not conforming to
right.
the world around them. They're making their own path, and they're not, and even if they have, you know, regular day jobs to support themselves, that their main thing that they're pursuing, their main passion is something beyond that, is something beyond just the day to day, the 9 to 5. This is, it's people who are living for like a meaning, like right. they have something meaningful they're pursuing, and people that aren't just doing it just for fame or just for popularity or just, you know, to make a lot of money. It's, there's something authentic about them. I try to bring people on that have an authenticity to them.
Right. Yeah, I get that sense. And in your own work, you have so many outlets, let's say, from music, acting, writing, journalism, and now improv and voice acting. Is there one that stands out as your favorite? You've mentioned music a lot, but or do they all kind of fit together for you?
I mean, I guess the one I'm focusing on a lot now is acting, mm-hmm. because that's and I do like music a lot, but it's always hard to get. I feel like I have to depend on other people a lot more for that. Like I have to get the right band together, and I just haven't had a lot of luck getting a steady band together.
Right.
And in the style of music I play and the style of music I listen to isn't like super commercial. Like, so I mean, I could probably make some money off of it, but I don't see that as being like a main focus. Like I think the acting is more something I can just go after, and I could go to auditions, and I mean, I know that's a very like one in a million chance, like, right. to have a steady career as an actor, but that's something I can kind of just pursue, and voice acting and voiceover, and I guess it's acting and the podcast are the two main things out of that. The other things are more just, I guess I classify them more as hobbies, even though I really enjoy those too. Like I really enjoy writing music, and I want to record that. I'm still working on recording that EP for that music project of mine, right. Insomniac AD, which is very, it's influenced by like a lot of 80s, like post-punk, like Joy Division, or like Baja's, like, I mean, that's more like goth rock kind of stuff, or like old school punk. A lot of stuff before my time, actually.
Right. Yeah, I get that sense. I like what you've shared with me and your music. I can see how your podcasting kind of allows you to explore all those, if you want to call them hobbies or, you know, avenues. It gives you a nice platform for self-expression. But you've mentioned, I know you're recently getting into the improv and then back to the acting. So is that, do you see the podcast as support for that endeavor, or?
In a way, yeah, because it's my own project that like I consistently work on. It's a way to consistently network. And if I go to something, that's always something I'm working on. That's always... It's good to have your own project and your own thing you're working on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's not like an acting project, it's still like my own show I'm putting together. And it's I think it just it, yeah, it's definitely good for everything. It's good for networking and good for to have something consistent that I'm working on. It's yeah, and it's putting it together. It's putting a lot of those skills that I have together too, like the you know, the journalistic skills, the editing, the recording, and voiceover. I guess it's voiceover in a way.
So, right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you started off with a partner who is now a spiritual teacher. Have you found that doing podcasting has changed your spiritual beliefs, or are you bringing those to the table throughout your interviews?
Well, I just feel like I don't know if they've changed through the interviews. They just changed over time. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe some of the far out New Age stuff was more of just a phase when I was trying to find out what it is I believed. I've never considered myself an atheist, but I've never really followed religion or organized religion. So the way I see it now is I believe in some sort of higher power, but I don't subscribe to any religion.
Right.
Like I just think that religions have been created by people. So I think that they're just, you know, they're written by people. They're not written by some godly force. And I don't really see any kind of God being like a humanoid entity that's saying, oh, you should do this or you should do that. I'm going to write this set of rules that you should follow. Or you're going to be damned for eternity. That just doesn't resonate with me.
Right.
And I think there's some kind of intelligence behind the universe, but I don't think it's like a person. I think it's more maybe everything's kind of connected in a way. I'm kind of into that, or the way everything kind of synchronizes. And I just think whatever it is, it just wants people to be happy, and it wants people. The only thing it would want is it want people to be happy, and it want people to be good to each other.
Right.
I don't think it would care if people are gay or people or anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you there, but so does I'm thinking that is the podcast like helped clarify that for you, or created more questions in that for you? In just your own belief system.
Maybe more questions. I mean, my beliefs, to be honest, my beliefs are always like constantly changing, because I'm always taking in new ideas. I've never been someone who's really like set in my ways. I mean, certain issues I'll be like set in my, I guess like if something's like clearly wrong, I'll be against that. But it's like, most of the time, I'm with a lot of things. I'm open to taking in new information or changing my mind, and that's why I talk to a wide range of people. I feel like my beliefs have developed and have developed more through talking to people. But I wouldn't know. I don't know if there's any one thing it's changed to, because they're always developing,
right?
And they're always, and you know, it's always changing based on my experience and based on, you know, what I read or, you know, hearing about other people's experiences. So,
right.
Yeah.
The more we learn, the more questions there are, huh? No way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What have been some of the most challenging or hardest lessons that you've learned in your podcasting experiences? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, I think finding that balance between making it a conversation and making an interview and being an interviewer, and you know, finding that balance between having banter and fun conversation and making it an interview, and also marketing the podcast, because I feel like I've changed the description like more than once, and I know what the show is. I know what a BSing show is, and it's just been like these past few years, this past year or two, I've been putting it more into words what the show is.
Right.
And I've had, like, I've had a wide range, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's a show for artists, but it's mainly, and it's mainly artists, but I've had like activists who are controversial.
Right.
Or I've had, you know, I've had more political episodes, like more political figures that I feel are going against the grain, maybe taking a controversial position or going against, you know, or just have an unusual position or going against, you know, their upbringing or any whatever, you know. It's just, so I guess I would just the only way I can simplify is maybe people walking their own path,
right,
in a way. Yeah.
So is that, I have written down, what does creativity mean to you? And I'm trying to put that in the context of this conversation. Does that, authenticity, or that willingness to go against your own beliefs or grain, get at what's creative to you? Or would you describe it in another way?
Well, I guess a lot of times that leads to creativity. I'm kind of thinking of what Nietzsche wrote, that, like in the Thus Spoke Zarathustra, there's that one part of, called Path of the Creator, which kind of influenced that one spoken word piece I wrote called The Creators.
Right.
And it's about, it could be a lonely path, the path of the creator, but it's where, you know, you find yourself and you develop yourself and you discover who you are. And yeah, I think it goes hand in hand, because I guess to be a true artist, most artists have, you know, they create, have a different way of seeing the world. It's, you know.
Yeah. I guess I'm just personally intrigued by that tension between creating, like actual producing things, and then being creative, which seems like more of a state of mind or a process. And you having interviewed so many great creative people now, it seems like we have a unique perspective on what a creative is, or what creativity is.
Yeah. A unique, so if I have a unique perspective on what makes people creative, or?
Yeah, or has interviewing creative people influenced what creativity means to you? Or has it stayed the same and you're just exploring more options of it through different people's expressions?
I mean, I guess exploring more options of it, I guess it's just it's an outlet for a lot of people, you know, even people that aren't, you know, even people that might work, that you might have a career that's unrelated to art or something, you know, they could, you know, write poetry, or they could do something else. I think a lot of people have a need for that outlet.
Right.
Even if they don't necessarily identify as artists, or, and maybe there's other different ways that creative energy could come out.
Yes. So do you think fundamentally human beings are creative or creators, and that maybe we haven't all discovered how to, you know, how to express that? Or
I think so, yeah. And maybe creative could come out in different ways. You know, it's not necessarily art, maybe cooking.
Right.
You know, for some people. Or even, you know, I mentioned activists before. Maybe if somebody's, maybe in a way, if you're an activist trying to change the world, like for what you see as like the better, or like trying to make a difference in that way, you're kind of being a creator in that way, because you're trying to make a change. You're trying to change the world. Like your creation is like adding, like changing the world for in a positive way. Or maybe, yeah, or maybe even like trying to make a difference in people's lives, that's like creating a positive experience for another person. Like if you want to get into a career, like if someone wants to be a teacher, like making an impact on that, maybe that's, I know that's not creating something, but that's like creating an experience for someone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that. Just like you mentioned, that the path of the creator can be lonely, and it has a lot to do with being unique and diverse. And yet the appeal seems to be where we find connection in that, or where we, you know, where we like almost influence that societal norm, you know, that we're trying to step out of.
Yeah, because then once you put your art out there, then it makes you connect. Then you feel more connected because then you find other people that it resonates with. Like I feel like that's you know the podcast. That's what the podcast and that has definitely helped me feel more connected with a lot of people.
Cool. So, what are your plans for the future for your podcast and for your other creative endeavors?
Well, for the podcast, I found out about Radio Free Brooklyn, which accepts pre-recorded shows. And I understand that they accept a lot of, you know, that they don't have like a lot of strict rules for their submissions. So I'm thinking I can submit my show to Radio Free Brooklyn and see if I can do a weekly show with them or find other outlets like that. Cause I know that they get about like 2,000 listeners and maybe see if there's other media outlets that accept pre-recorded shows like I do and see if that can get it out to a wider audience and then maybe release an episode weekly with them and maybe find other ways to get a larger audience, like through finding other ways to market it or maybe getting sponsors or finding other networks to submit it to. Also, I guess for the acting, I'm gonna try to get an agent. I'm gonna be auditioning for agents. I have this short film where I was the lead recently, and I'm gonna update my reel and add more of that to the reel and use that as something I can show agents. And getting an agent.
Expanding your audience on all those platforms. Yeah, I was earlier noting there's the difference between the person, the appeal of the person you're interviewing and the subjects that you're covering when you're interviewing, and then there's the audience reaction. So would you say that there's a shift going on there in what's most important to you in that, or is it always a balance of all three, or? As far as audience content or person, you know, subject.
I guess it's a combination of all three. I mean, I noticed that like a lot of my listeners, they like the ones where the conversation is a little longer they like it when it gets into a more in-depth conversation that isn't just focused on the one thing they do, but then we have a back and forth. And like, I think our interview was a bit like that. Like, we went into, like, you talked about your writing, and then we talked about, then that got into a little bit about writing in general and other writers in general, and then it went into some philosophical topics.
Right.
So I think the ones that are like that seem to be the ones that resonate with people the most. Or that one I did recently with Joseph Mauricio, who's the spiritual teacher.
Right.
And he also does stand-up comedy, and he talked about meditation and comedy's way to help people with depression and anxiety. And we got into a lot of deep topics with that. So I think more episodes like that, it's the subjects, the person, and making it an interesting conversation for people to listen to.
Right. So do you see your podcasting in particular, but also all your, you know, acting and music and writing journalism as like, is the main objective to provide benefit to society on some level or is it something else for you?
I would say providing benefit to society, showing a wide range of different types of people from different backgrounds, and maybe, because I feel like maybe TV a lot of times shows like a lot of stereotypes or a lot of, it's very like limited to the different kinds of people it shows and different kinds of people from different groups or different, you know, backgrounds, whatever kind of background. And I think my show shows like a wider range of people that exist and a wider range of perspectives that exist.
Right.
And maybe getting people to see beyond, like, see beyond like their initial biases, maybe.
Right. Yeah, preconceptions. The title BSing, and then combined with what you said earlier about feeling that tension between balancing like banter and pre-formatted questions or conversation. I find that fascinating personally, and I guess I'd love it if you want to talk more about how that spontaneity, that being in the moment, that unscriptedness, and as you're experiencing with improv and comedy, seems to bring out something of humanity that's hard to get to when we think it through ahead of time too much.
The trying too much.
Maybe, yeah.
Rather than just being.
Right. Yeah.
And that's definitely what improv has helped me a lot with, like not thinking as much. Because, you know, I'm a very analytical person.
Right.
So I that could be good for certain things. It could be good for, I think writing is one of the things it's good for. Because, you know, you need to think a lot some writing could be intuitive too. But it's good. It definitely has its place to be analytical at times. But other times, you know, it can keep you from being in the moment and just thinking too much and acting naturally. So definitely improv has helped me more just act, you know, in the moment and just be and kind of roll with what other people are doing and to listen to what they're doing and not just go in with an idea of something. And then, cause when I had the list, when I first did interviews, I was a little less like I used to have an idea in my head of how the conversation's going to go.
Right.
And now I have a basic, I have like a little plan of like topics we'll cover, but I'm open to, they bring up something else I wasn't expecting. So we can go into that and kind of improvising a bit with the guest the way I would in an improv scene rather than just having my idea or my thought or my prediction of what I think is going to happen and going more with the moment.
Right. Do you think that's like, I'm thinking about how children sometimes do that so well, and I would think that it's a matter of experience, except for that thought about children. So do you think it's something that you just learn to be more comfortable with being in the moment or something that gets easier with experience? I don't know if that makes sense exactly, but your thoughts on that.
So meaning so you're asking if like the improv helps more with the being in the moment, or
if the podcasting and interviewing lots of people has given you more of a range of experiences and perspectives that then makes it easier to be in the moment, or if that's something that you think we tap into that's kind of with us from childhood and that maybe it's letting go of overthinking and experiences that allows us to be in the moment.
I mean, I think for me, the podcasting has helped with that, but I guess it's different for, maybe it's just helped me tap into something that's there.
Right.
And all of us already, you know, like the more, because I do think, yeah, as a kid, you're more in the moment, I guess, when you're playing. And then also with the improv, tapping into that playful, imaginative, like creating a scene and acting taps into that a bit too.
Right.
So kind of like how you used to play games as a kid, like tapping into that imaginative part of yourself.
Right. Then, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm thinking that plus then being informed by, you know, more perspective and more experience probably helps bring a confidence to being able to improv in the moment.
Oh, it does. Yeah. And understanding different kinds of people and people talking to people very different from me and understanding their perspective.
Right.
And learning new things from them. I think I've learned new things most podcast episodes I've done.
It's good. So you mentioned Radio Free Brooklyn as a future plan for your podcast. Any other specific future plans for the podcast and specifically?
Maybe try to get more, like famous guests.
Right.
And just figure out how to market it more, how to maybe explain it in a more simple way to people that aren't familiar with it, or maybe, I guess, finding my audience.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Like just the whole marketing side of it is what I need to work on more.
Right. And is that like for monetary reasons or for like your own evolutionary reasons? You feel like you want to reach more people, that journalism aspect of you wants to communicate more with more people?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a bit of both, because I want to get it out to more people, and I want to be able to monetize it a bit more. Like,
right.
I want to, because it's something I've been working on for many years, and I would like to find a way to monetize it more. And so that way I can, you know, keep doing it and keep, and then maybe even... It'd be cool to kind of just, you know, do my podcast and do acting full time if I could. So,
right. So that was one of my last questions was, do you feel like the podcast and your other creative endeavors, your music, your acting, your writing, your journalism, and your improv, do they all work synergistically, or is there tension, you know, just with time, or?
I think they all kind of flow together.
Right. So they enhance each other and not take away from each other.
Yeah.
Cool. So what are your future plans with the improv and writing?
Well, the improv, I have this this team that I do every Sunday, Folks About the Town. It's like a house team. Right now we're getting into practicing more. I just finished Improv 1 at the Pit. And I want to go eventually at my own pace, go through all the improv levels and then be able to audition for one of the house teams at the Pit. And I guess that's about my only plan with improv for now. And maybe get into doing sketch comedy is an improv, but to be in some kind of comedic show, like a sketch comedy show, and do like a sketch comedy acting would be really cool.
Right. So more comedy in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I personally feel like comedy is like going to save us all. If anything, feels like a great place for humans to explore, you know, problems and things that bother us in a safe environment, I guess. So,
yeah. Humor is good for, it's good for, it can heal. It's good for like health and like mental health. And also like it can ease tension a lot, too.
Yeah,
you know, just being humorous and being—it can make others feel. If you're humorous, you can make others feel comfortable too.
Right.
So
this was an unplanned question, but you mentioned early on that part of your motivation for starting the podcast was more connection, and that you were struggling back in 2012 with feeling maybe a lack of sense of community or connection. Do you feel like the experience of podcasting and now improving and everything you've been doing is been therapeutic for you on a personal level?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely feel a lot more connected now. And I think that's the best way to connect with people is through, doing things you enjoy.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I have some silly rapid fire questions I could throw at you, but before I do, do you have anything else that comes to mind that you want to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. I think we covered a lot of the stuff about the show.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the best I've done being interviewed.
Well,
I for a while it was hard for me to do interviews, like I'd always think too much, but
right.
I guess now it helps that I'm on my phone and I'm kind of like lying back and
not staring at a box.
Yeah,
yeah. I think back to that idea of improv, I think that's where we get our best, you know, straight from our real self, true self kind of expression when we don't overthink things too much.
Yeah. Because before, if I get interviewed, if I got interviewed, I give an answer, then I think, all right, I need to say something else. And then la-la-la-la-la-la, like, or something like that. I say that a lot. I've learned to not say that as much, like, la-la-la-la-la-la-la, like.
Right.
Like, and all that. Or, or not try so, not think I have to, okay, I said that, but is that enough? I need to find something else to add.
Right.
And then, like, yeah, like, was that enough what I said? But now I just, this time I just kind of just said what came to mind.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was a shorter answer, sometimes it was a longer answer. I guess what matters is it's a truthful answer.
Yeah, so. It's authentically you in the moment, huh? Well, one of my favorite interviews uses a three truths question that I thought I would run by you, which is if you were at the end of all your creative expressions and you could only leave three truths behind for humanity to, you know, have as the truths that you left behind, what would those be today?
Oh, just three universal truths about the world?
Yeah.
Well, one main thing is, I guess it's kind of simple, but that people are people. Like that's I think that's what my show shows, because it shows all people from different backgrounds, different cultures, and they're all like they're unique. They're their own person. They don't fit into like a stereotype or what a movie might paint a picture of, like a certain group. Just, and people get caught up in thinking, oh, these people are like this or those people are like this, and it's not just like people of different cultures or different backgrounds, but people like, if even people with different political beliefs or different, or with the different interests, you know, people sometimes have a different idea that metalheads are just all these tough, angry people that go, ah, you know, I hate everybody. Ah, you right. know, like I've been to metal shows and stuff, and like, there's definitely a wide range of people that are interested in that. There's a wide range of people that are interested in different spiritual practices or belief systems or have different looks at it or different, you know, I just want to show people the wide range of humanity and to not get caught up in just putting people in boxes.
Right.
And see that, I guess, through appreciating people's differences and then also recognizing the common humanity that kind of unites us too.
Right.
So I guess that's one truth. That was one. I don't know if it counts as two truths.
Or no, one I count truth. That as one. That people are people. That's kind of like our differences, our uniquenesses bring us to connect us in some way.
Yeah.
All right. What's another one?
I guess the second truth is, in the end, you're the one lying on your deathbed. So live the life according to your own truth, and don't get caught up in, I mean, definitely be compassionate towards others and respect others, but don't get caught up in, am I living this, you know, worrying about living the life that other people want you to live or living according to others' expectations. You know, find your own truth, because in the end, you're the one that's going to be with yourself till the end.
Right.
So what you think of yourself and what you think of your choices is what matters. So I guess that's the second truth.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. I agree with that. And what's number three for you?
That maybe don't believe. I'm trying to think. Well, maybe with the lawn and related to the podcast, or
sure.
Well, maybe don't, because a lot of times, then I think the news will show what someone said outside of context,
right?
And maybe don't always believe the way someone is portrayed. Like, actually go and hear someone out. Like, look into what someone believes and what their actual perspectives are outside of maybe just a snippet on the news or a snippet on TV and actually like look at like a long interview with them or like what their views are. Even if it's someone you find repulsive, I think you should at least understand your opposition, or you should understand even people you don't like, I think.
Right.
And try to really hear them out. Like, not just people who agree with you, but you should try to understand people you disagree with too.
Right.
And yeah, I guess that's like what's, I mean, I don't like to, I guess it would be better if people didn't think of them each other as like enemies or anything. But like I was just thinking of like what Sun Tzu said about like know your enemy as well as you know yourself. Like you can't really like you have to understand. Yeah, try to understand even people that you think are opposed to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not, yeah, I like that. And to having to do with context, I think is important too to understand that we all have, you know, that there's reason behind how we all end up generally. If you're willing to take the time to kind of understand that, you know, usually can make sense even if it's an enemy.
Yep. And in understanding why someone ends up that way, then you're more able to reach them, you know.
Right.
And even if someone's on, like, yeah. I guess I was just thinking, even if someone's, like, on a dark path or on, like, the wrong path, if you try to understand more where they're coming from and why, what led them to that, then you're more able to help them and take them on a better path.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. It's good stuff, Sean, I think.
Thank you.
I don't know how, if you want some rapid fire questions or you want to wrap it up there. I think we got, again, if there's anything else that you want to talk about, I'm happy to hear it.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of curious what the rapid fire questions are.
Right. They're pretty silly. So
okay.
They're just silliness.
Okay.
If you were a hat, what kind of hat would you be? That's not rapid fire. That's just one of the silly ones.
Well, I would probably be this, this corduroy hat.
The corduroy hat you're wearing?
Yeah. I think you've seen the picture. That's become kind of my signature now.
Yeah. And what? Why is that?
I had one in middle school and I had one as a little kid. And then recently I just thought, you know what? I want to wear a hat, like a stylish hat. Because I wore a hat for an audition and I was like, you know, I kind of want to get myself a hat. So I decided to get myself a corduroy hat.
Right.
Just because I like. I guess there's no other reason besides behind it that besides I liked how it looked.
just a good match for you. I mean, like, does corduroy signify something in particular to you?
I guess it's just because I had a hat like that as a little kid, then I had a hat like that in middle school, and then I just thought, you know what, I'll just make it my signature now.
Right. So it's been with you a long time. It feels familiar.
Yeah.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Smooth.
What's your favorite day of the week?
I guess Friday.
All right. That's all I got. If there's anything else you want to talk about, happy to.
Maybe you're, because I want to know like an outside perspective on like the podcast. Like what is your like perception of like what it is and like the theme behind it and what have you got like the different, you've listened to a lot of the episodes. So I'd be interested to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah. I have a more limited perspective than you just regarding podcasts in general, but from my perspective, I found it, a lot of the things you said, I really enjoy the diverse perspectives. It seems authentic and mostly off the cuff, sometimes a little, maybe cautious is the word I'm looking for. I'm not sure, but, understandably. So, I've enjoyed so far all the episodes I've listened to. I've really felt like you've given people an opportunity to just express themselves. And I get that sense that you're also exploring yourself at the same time. So I enjoy that.
Yeah. And I guess, did you like listening to it from an outside perspective, was there something you saw that kind of drew the different people? Like, did you see a regular theme with the show, like a consistent theme?
Yeah. I would say it's in line with what you brought up, which is that authenticity, that dynamicness, a little, you know, you, that's why I was curious about what outside the box means to you, because I do see that, and yet I'm intrigued by how it almost wants to bring us all into a same box while, you know, seeing what we have in common by being outside the box, but people who are living their own true authentic lives and not being afraid to express themselves, even if it's not, you know, the mainstream perspective. I appreciate that. And it's, as a person like that myself, it's nice to hear more diverse perspectives, you know, that are their own unique selves that are, when they differ from mine, I enjoy that. So.
Cool. Yeah. This is the 100th episode special.
Nice. Well, thank you for letting me be a part of it. I'm excited about it. So
yeah, thanks for asking good questions. And this is I've done interviews before, but this is my first good interview.
So. Well, awesome. Thank you. Yeah. It's been my pleasure for sure. And hopefully we can work together some more in the future. I look forward to it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Righty. So that was the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. That was my 100th episode and the last episode of 2019. I know I already said a lot because I was the guest being interviewed, but I really, for the 100th time in the 100th episode, I really appreciated Gabrielle Angel's questions. And like I said towards the end, this was my first good interview. I think other times I've been interviewed, I was thinking too much about what I was saying and trying hard to say, make my answers interesting, or thinking my answers had to be interesting. And this, I didn't think as much, you know, it's just either it was a short answer or it was a long answer. What matters most is it's a truthful answer. And given what I talked about in the episode about the path of the creator, I'm going to close out by reading this one spoken word piece I wrote a while ago that was inspired by Nietzsche's Thus Spoke Zarathustra, specifically the one part about the path of the creator. And anyway, it's called The Creators. Who are these ones who call themselves the creators? Why don't they walk like us? Why do they dance and sing? Why can't they get back in line with the rest of us? Why do they try to fly? Why can't they be like us, content without wings? There is no need to walk above our heads when it is safer on the ground. Perhaps we should medicate the creators. They can be no harm to us if they are sedated. If they are not complacent with our ways, we shall make them complacent. We fear what we cannot define. It is why we label those who walk their own path. We'd rather diagnose them with a disorder to help us feel more comfortable than to listen to the words that they sing. It is because we are afraid to hear a new song in a different key. But what would mankind be without those who dare to dance and sing in a different key? Those who walk in line fade into obscurity, while those who dance shine as a bright star in an empty sky. And I think that is a good thing to close on because it kind of highlights all the people I've had on throughout the years. And myself. I view that as myself, too. That I'm walking my own path with when doing with my podcast and everything I'm doing. And that's why I'm drawn to other people who are the same way as me with that. Check out Gabrielle's podcast. I'll post a link. Like I said, it is the same interview. So maybe, I know you'll probably most likely only want to listen to this episode once. If you want to listen to it twice, great. But definitely check out her intro and outro and subscribe to listen to future episodes of her podcast, because I think her take on this was really good too. And it's really awesome to inspire someone else with my work. And I'll see you all in the new year.